I was thinking about that, that we are thankful to the God that the pilgrims worshiped. They came here for freedom to worship God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that I am not worshiping the Muslim idol, Allah, or I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not a Hindu, I'm a Christian, and that's a glorious thing to be able to worship the true God of the Bible, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Thanksgiving is celebration. You know that celebrations are biblical? When Solomon completed the temple, there were days and days of celebration, and they killed 22,000 sheep and just made a great, great celebration. When Nehemiah had completed the walls, big celebration. People gathered, celebrated. So it's right that we celebrate with thanksgiving. Now here's a text that has caught my heart at this time here, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And those are the verses we'll look at this morning as Paul is writing to the Christians in the city of Colossae, where a religion known as Gnosticism and problems had come. So, and he's reviewing with them what their life should be. And in verses 6 and 7, it is recorded, as Paul wrote this letter to them, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk or live in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving." Now, I have looked at this text through the years, but this is the first time that the thought here of abounding with thanksgiving has really caught me. That this is an amazing thing, that you may abound with thanksgiving. So we're going to ask the question this morning, how can we abound with thanksgiving? And the answer is right in the text. How can we overflow with thanksgiving is what it should be. And how important it is, and how many passages in Scripture speak of being thankful. The Psalms full of being a grateful person. And then you think of the opposite of thanksgiving, and what an awful life it is. A life of complaining, a life of grumbling, a life of being critical, a life filled with ill will. In fact, when you read Romans 1 and Paul records the decline of humanity away from God and into sin, he includes that they worshiped the creation. Neither were they thankful. Not to be thankful is a road downhill. So we're studying a very important thing this morning. How can we overflow with thanksgiving? And the text answers it here in verse 6. Number 1, you overflow with thanksgiving by receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. And let's just think about the way Paul puts it here. Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ is his title which he had from all eternity. Christ is as eternal as the Father. As the Son of God, he's the eternal Son of God. That's his title, the appointed one. Jesus is his human name, which means Savior. Jesus Christ, our appointed Savior. The term Lord refers to his sovereignty. Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, that's whom we receive. Christ Jesus the Lord. And over you hear people say, when I was young, I received Jesus as my Savior. When I was 21 or 22, I received him as Lord. No, you can't do that. It's a fallacy of presenting the gospel. If you let someone believe they have received Jesus without receiving him as Christ Jesus the Lord, that's the way we present him. That is evangelism. And we say that, how do you receive him? What does it mean to receive him? It is by believing in him. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe. Believe in him. That is salvation. Receive him by believing in him, in his death and resurrection, and we must settle for nothing less. It isn't enough to get people to go to church. It isn't enough to get people to a Bible study. We must take people to Christ, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and not settle for something out here on the periphery. You have to get to Christ, and you have to receive Christ Jesus the Lord. And I thought it would be good for us at this point just to review this salvation process that God takes us through. We begin life being dead in sin. We are spiritually dead. We're alive physically, but we're dead spiritually. We have no relationship to God. We don't want a relationship to God. We want sin and self to rule and reign in our life. So how does God ever get us into the position of being saved and loving him? Well, he began way back before created by choosing us. He chose us to be saved. He chose us as ones who would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we can believe, we have to be raised from the dead. So, at some point, God has some people praying for us. He has someone who is going to share the Word of God. And by his grace, we become interested. We become convicted of the fact that we are sinful and need a Savior. And it's the grace of God doing this, the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing us to that point and that moment when he would invade our life, raise us from the dead, open the blind eyes, give understanding to the dead heart, and create faith in us, and we believe. At that point, we were receiving Christ as our Savior because the grace of God has brought us out of the spiritual grave into eternal life. Those are the steps. We can't do that ourselves. No one can make that decision. No one can save him or herself. It is of God, by God, through God, for us. How can we abound with thanksgiving? By receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, that ought to grip us right now as we have reviewed that, to say, thank you, Lord. If it weren't for your grace and mercy to me, I would be wallowing in a life of unbelief and sin and selfishness. Receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Now Paul takes us to a second step. He uses two great little words, as and so. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, so continue to live in him. Now the New Testament uses the word walk as a way of saying life. So live in him. How'd you receive him? By faith. How do you live the Christian life? By faith. As you have received, so live. And we live by faith, and we have eternal security, and we depend on him. And so we have this life, as Paul explains it here in the text. What does it look like? He says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted. Good word, big word, important word for us as a Christian, to be rooted like a mighty, majestic oak that's sturdy and strong and steady and withstands the storms of life. A tree that's dependable. A tree that is filled with energy and growth. We want to be Christians who are rooted in the things of God. And then he goes on to say, not only rooted, but built up in him. We're like a tree, we're like a building with a wonderful, firm foundation. Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith. It's wonderful to be with Christians who are rooted, built up, and established. Someone you can count on. Someone whose word they keep, and they're dependable people, and they're established. And Paul says, as you have been taught. Well, what had they been taught? They had been taught Christian doctrine. They had been taught truth. And as they had been taught by Paul, they were taught sovereign grace doctrines of truth. They were not people who were vacillating, but they were established, built up in the faith, taught the doctrine of truth. How do we overflow and abound with thanksgiving? By receiving Christ Jesus the Lord and living by faith in him. And Paul gives us the glorious result. Abounding with thanksgiving. Now that's where we are this morning and this week. And I like the word overflowing. The Christian life is an overflow. It's an outflow of all that's taking place within. And to overflow with thanksgiving includes joy and peace and rest, and generosity and hospitality and serving. It's a life of the fullness of God overflowing. And the word that Paul uses here relates to something exceedingly above, beyond measure, abound with thanksgiving. Let it roll out, let it flow. Let it be consuming and dominating and captivating our life. How do you do that?
By receiving Christ Jesus the Lord and living by faith in Him. Now I want to speak of 10 reasons or objects or ingredients in Thanksgiving. And don't get too worried, it won't take too long. 10 will come. How do we be thankful this Thanksgiving? How do we overflow? What are the ingredients? First of all, be thankful to God our Father. And spend some time just thinking of Him and reviewing who He is and what He's done. And to be able to say, "Oh, Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for all of your attributes. Thank you that because you are powerful and I am not, I can't, but you can. Thank you that you're omniscient. What I don't know, you know. Thank you that you're everywhere present. I can't be there, but you can. Thank you that you're immutable. I change every day. Everything here is temporary. It's changing. You don't change. I can count on it." So you spend time just thanking God, Heavenly Father. Next, you thank the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. And you think your way through His life, His birth, His ministry, healing a blind, healing the lame, saving people from sin, going through the awful experience of the crucifixion. For whom? For me. For you. And you thank Him. Spend some time this Thanksgiving just with the Lord Jesus Christ to thank Him. Then we thank the Holy Spirit. What a great God He is to us, to come to us, invade our life, put up all with the opposition and with the stubbornness of our will, and continue to make that conquest. We are here as believers because the Holy Spirit won a war against us. He overwhelmed us. He overpowered us. He used divine force to win us and woo us to love the Lord. He's really faithful. He sticks with the job and He saved us. And He's here today with us. Thank the Holy Spirit. Thank God for your salvation. I am so grateful to be forgiven of sin. To be justified before God. To have a position as a son of God, adopted. You go through all of your salvation and thank Him for that. You thank Him for your family, as Derek did this morning. Families are great. You think God's going to create, what is life going to be like for human beings? God puts us in families. That is a great thing. Take some time and go through your family individually and thank God for each one. Then for believers, there's the privilege of being in the church family. A part of believers all over the world. And in local churches where God puts us and where God has us today. And think of each one and each young person and each child and thank God. Overflow with thanksgiving for each other and appreciation for each other. Thank God for provision. We have a covered roof. We're clothed. We probably had some kind of breakfast. What a great thing that is. At least half of the world will spend this day scrounging for a morsel of food. Thank God for His provision. We breathe His air. We drink His water, and we neglect to thank Him. Thank God for your election. That's the basis of it all. God is discriminating. He has a people whom He saves. And there is a people whom He does not save. And He has loved us. He elected us. Thank Him for that. Thank Him for your election unto salvation. Thank Him for protection. Sometimes from physical harm. I can think of two or three times in my life where my physical life was threatened. God saved me. I thank Him more for emotional protection. Times when life gets a little rough and there are storms when you could crack and go under it. Let feelings ruin everything. Thank Him for emotional protection. Thank Him for mental protection. That we get to think about things that are healthy and wonderful and noble and right. What a privilege. That's 9. Who could guess what number 10 is?
But I'm going to let you share. I could, Bill, but I'm going to let you share.
Very good. Here it is. Thank God for the Bible. The Scriptures given by Him to us. Truth. Thank God we're in the truth. If you're not in the truth, you're in a lie. And the unbelieving world lives their entire life in a lie. Deception. And the Bible is the truth of God. How thankful we should be. And let our lives today and through the week and through our life overflow with thanksgiving. And express that to the Lord and to each other. And let our life be a life of gratitude and appreciation. And I have maintained through the years that the basic evidence of being a Christian is that of being thankful and appreciative. In fact, I can prove that. From Ephesians 5, if you'll turn there for a moment, and we go. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and it's chapter 5, and it's the well-known chapter where it speaks of being filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, we read, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is destructive, but be filled with the Spirit." And what is the result of being filled with the Spirit? Doesn't say anything about ministry or gifts. It says this: speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's the evidence. You want to talk to me about being filled with the Holy Spirit? Don't come at me with spiritual gifts. Don't come at me with your great ministry. Come at me overflowing with thanksgiving. And I'll say, "Yes, brother. Yes, sister. You have received Christ Jesus, the Lord. As you have received, so live, overflowing with thanksgiving." Dear Heavenly Father, as we have mentioned being thankful for your word, we pray now that this word of God in Colossians 2, 6, and 7 will leap off the page into our life by the work of the Holy Spirit, and we would be people on this earth who overflow with thanksgiving to you for who you are and what you have done. Grant it to be so, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.